Luke 16 and 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. It's my humble belief that when we die, we will go to a place called Hades. That place has two parts to it. It has paradise, it has torment. We will spend eternity in heaven or Gehenna, hell. This will be a place that we will wait for final judgment. But we're headed to one of those two places, I understand the Bible. And you read this story here, and does that not describe us in many ways? A certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen. You see this suit I got on tonight? You know what I paid for it? $1 at a yard sale. Does that tell you something? He had two of them. That's right. I paid $2 for two of these suits. Does that tell you something? What does it tell you? It tells you we've got so much, doesn't it? We've got it in Alabama. You've got it in Arizona. And wherever you go, we have got so much that we don't need it. He wasn't trying to make $2. He was trying to get it out of his house, wasn't he? You probably got the same things in your house. You probably got to get rid of stuff to have room to put things in your house. We don't have room for it. Our closets are full. Our pantries are full. Our freezers are full. We got a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage and a ring on every finger. And sometimes we got them on the toes too, hadn't we? That's just the way it is in America in so many places. We have so much. But here's a rich man that died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. He was in torment. There's a great gulf between the two they couldn't pass over. And you know what's so sad about that? He said, I've got five brethren. They're still living. Let Lazarus go back and preach to them. Can you imagine being in this place? And you're going to be conscious. Oh, yeah. You're going to be very, very much alive. You've heard people say that somebody's real sick and they pass on and they say they're better off. Well, excuse me. You're right. If they're in paradise where Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you'll be me in paradise. You're right, they're better off. But friends, if they're in torment, they're not better off. It doesn't matter how sick they were in this life. But this man had five brothers. He said, send him back to tell them about this place. Can you imagine being there and knowing your children are going to be there soon with you? Knowing your wife's going to be there, your husband's going to be there, your pastor's going to be there, because you knew the life they were living, what was important to them while they were living down there on this earth. Does this bother us? You know, friends, I'm going to tell you something tonight. And there are people that call themselves Christians, but church is a joke. I'm serious. There's a place to go when there's no place else to go. If everything is convenient. You know, I heard real sad, somebody told me something years ago. He's talking about his own mother. And I've been knowing this woman for years and years. And I asked him about his mother. And he said, well, Brother Bass, she don't go to church anymore. The only time she gets out is every Wednesday to get her hair done. I cannot believe that. Every Wednesday she got to get her hair done. So she gets out. Thank you. Somebody already asked me almost the water and I said no. Should have said maybe. But can you imagine that? You're going to go get your hair done, but you're not going to go to church. I mean, where's our values? You ever wonder about that? You ever wonder about people that say, oh, how I love Jesus? We're all going somewhere, aren't we? In Matthew 16, we're going to begin here about verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now just a minute. What? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Oh, my friends, do we see the importance of being ready? Do we see the importance of when our life is over to meet, that when we meet our Lord and meet Him in peace, do we really see that? Or we just, you know, we think it's a long way off. And it's not going to happen this year. We're not going to die this year. He's not going to come back this year. Take a look around you. Everybody's hurrying, aren't they? They're hurrying. It doesn't matter where you go, where it is. It's just a rat race. Well, I was down in Louisiana one year with this brother down there, and I stopped at his stop sign. His cars are coming. I pull out. I got room. He laughed. He said, you know, Bass, he said, I can tell you a city driver. You take an opening. When you got an opening, you take it. He said, here out in the country like this, we see somebody that far down the road? No. Because there may not be another car come out here for another couple of 3 minutes, the more you know. We let them come on. And I never thought about that. And he's probably got a lot of truth in that's the way we drive in the city. We got an opening right there. We go in there because we know we may not get another opening. But we're in a hurry, aren't we? We're in a rat race, so to speak. If you haven't known anybody to win a rat race, I don't believe I have. And the Bible talks about, Solomon says, I've seen all the works that are done on his son. Behold, all his vanity and vexation of spirit. We try to get ahead. We want a little more. You ever read over the book of Haggai chapter 1? Haggai chapter 1. Verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Look at this. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. Sometimes Sue and I would say we're going to go out and eat. You know what we do? What you want? I don't know. What you want? I don't know what I want. If we were really hungry, what? Anything. Think about what he says here. The Bible is so absolutely perfect. You don't have enough. You drink and you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Our world sells us a bill of goods, doesn't it? Tells us that we'll feel better if we have enough. If we have enough money, we'll be secure. If we have the latest car, if we have the newest VCR, and what they got now, BlackBerry, and I had to find out what a BlackBerry was, and I have my grandson tell me what a BlackBerry is. If we got a big screen TV, stylish clothes, if we're the right size, if we have a good suntan, we'll be happy. Advertisement convince us that we must have these latest gadgets. We pursue happiness by trying to have enough stuff. But having a lot of wealth doesn't mean that we'll be happy. It doesn't mean that our kids will turn out well. And it doesn't mean we'll have a strong marriage. That's right. It doesn't mean that, does it? Because we see people with lots of things. The kids don't turn out well. Their marriages are not strong and they're not happy. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We dream about things and we talk about things. In James chapter 4, in verse 13, James 4 and verse 13, James says, go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow, we were going to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. And we do, don't we? We boast about things. And we're pleased with what we boast about and what we're going to do. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Our life is a vapor. We are pilgrims. And our journey will end somewhere, someday. What is our destination? Well, let's talk tonight. And let's see if we can determine our final destination tonight. And number one is, how do you use your time? You know, I read one day where somebody said, time is what eternity is made of. People say, I don't have time. But friends, we always have time for things we consider important. I do. If I consider it important, friend, I take time to do it. I remember several years ago when Taylor was just a little girl, maybe two, and they lived in Montgomery, which is 50 miles about from us there in Auburn. And so Sue goes and gets her as our granddaughter. We got her anyway. And so anyway, I'm working still then. And I get home that night and Sue has not washed dishes. She has not made the bed. She has not cooked supper. And she looked at me and she laughed. She said, you know what I've done today? I said, what? She said, I played with Taylor. And that's what's important, isn't it? Isn't it? You know, we get so concerned about these other things in life. I'm not saying you don't need to make your bed or wash your dishes or cook or whatever. I'm not saying that. But people are what's important. Your children are what's important. What's that old saying about your child comes through your life and disappears into an adult? And friends, let me tell you what tonight. It's like a dream that we only had children to me and Sue. It is. But they were ever there with us. Those little ones. People are important. Do you have time for your children? A dad comes home and to get his golf clubs and his son says, "Dad, are you coming or going?" I remember reading one time, and I hate to get this wrong, but I'm going to be close. But there was a survey taken one time of how much time fathers spend with their children in a week. And it was like, it was minutes, I know that. It wasn't hours. And I'm thinking the average averaged out to 17 minutes. Now, I'm not positive of that, but it was minutes. It wasn't hours. That fathers spend with their children in a week. They don't even eat together many times anymore. Time. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your time determines so much about where you will spend eternity. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. How do you spend your time? What do you think is important? What do you think about most? You know, they say we are physically what we eat. Well, if we are physically what we eat, then we are spiritually what we think. What is on your mind? What do you like to think about when you're by yourself? What does your mind feed on? I remember years ago, we had gone on a trip. We was coming back, and I was listening to this. It was on a Sunday night, late at night, and I was listening to this preacher. I don't know what kind of preacher he was, but he was preaching about your thoughts. And he says, bring every thought into captivity. And that's in the Bible. And I thought about what a wonderful thing to bring our thoughts into captivity. But brethren, we can't bring it into captivity if we have trash going into our thoughts. And when you have trash, it's things you watch, it's things you read. And you have these things in your thoughts. It goes into your mind, and that's what you're going to think about. Look at sometimes the programs you watch on television. Just ask yourself, is this something that is suitable to watch? Is this suitable for my family? You know, they got these movies out now, they call them PG. Parental guidance. And so part of that movie they're saying is not suitable for children to watch. So I guess whenever that part comes on, they're going to warn you, and so you're going to cover your children's eyes and ears. Is that what you're going to do? You think I'm going to spend my money on that? I don't know what it costs to go to a movie. You think I'm going to support people? So many didn't believe in abortion, divorce and remarriage, same-sex marriages. That's what you want to support with your money? You think that's wise? You think that's right? You know what you're going to think about? That trash that's in your mind. How can you expect to have good, pure thoughts? Remember reading over Philippians 4 and 8? Philippians 4 and 8. And he tells us things here to think on. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. But we want to hear bad reports. I don't think I'll ever forget when I was a child and Brother J.A. Dennis spoke to us there. He spoke many times at Carville where I went to church. And Brother Dennis said, you may have heard me tell this story, but it's such a good story. And he said, I remember one time, don't always tell the truth. You may know it's the truth. It may well be the truth, but don't tell it. You shouldn't tell it. Things that are good report, tell. So many times we want to hear bad reports, don't we? Bad things about people. Yeah, I thought all the time that's the way they were. I'm not surprised one bit. But he tells us here, don't think about things. He said, think about things that are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then he says in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. What do we tell? What I tell the dearest person in the world to me, this. You live as I've lived, and you'll be okay. Could you say that on your deathbed, and there's the dearest person in the world of you standing by you? Could you say to them, follow me? Would you say that to them? Do you feel that much confidence in your life that you would be right here in paradise where we read tonight? You know, Paul spoke about his life. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And I told you, it's going to be a fight all your life to fight against Satan. You're going to have to fight him all your life. But Paul says here in Philippians 4:9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you do these things. But you know what I say? You know what I tell my kids? I want you to do better than your daddy. I want you to be closer to God than I am. I want you to live a better life than I've lived. Do we feel that way? Do we feel like that everything is just in line, that we've done all we can? You know, friends, this is saying a lot right here. And it follows the verse of what he just talked about us thinking on good things. For what are you willing to die? Friends, a great country was born because so many people answered the call of give me liberty or give me death. That's right. Loyal people have given their life for this country of ours. But where is our loyalty today? What are you willing to give your life for? In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 24. Matthew 6 and 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And he says, look at the fowls of the air. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can be taller, add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He's talking about the scarlet poppies that bloom for one day on the hills of Palestine. They would take these dried flowers, put them in tight bundles, and put them into their clay ovens to preheat their oven. That's what he's talking about there. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Well, well, well. You know what this friend of mine's wife told me? He said, my husband, when he gets to eating breakfast, you know what he'd say? Well, we're going to have for lunch. He said, when he gets to eating lunch, you know what he's going to say? Well, we're going to have supper. See, me and my daughter goes off on a trip. You know, first thing I ask when I get home? What'd y'all eat? I've been guilty of that. I'm telling you. That's right. I'll ask, sir, I come in the house and be something cooking. What we going to have to eat? He's showing us here what's important in life, isn't he? But what do we think is important in life? What should we eat, or what should we drink, or wherewithal should we be clothed? After all these things the Gentiles see. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What are we willing to die for? That we worry about so much about life, that we're all caught up in that. In Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Paul says, I'm dead but living, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I'm dead but living, and yet Christ lives in me. Now, brethren, let me ask you a question tonight. Be real frank with yourself. Does Christ really live in you? Does he really live in you? Do you really feel like that Christ lives in you? The old man, the old woman you once were, the old sins you once had, the old lust you once gave into. You don't do that anymore. You don't live that way anymore because Christ lives in you. Well, this thing is really getting personal, isn't it? How do you spend your money? How do you spend your money? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. In 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. In verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Can you do that? Can I do that? Can I be content? It would include shelter. Can I be content with food and clothing and shelter? But they that will be rich, not rich, they that will be rich, fall into temptation and a trap or snare, and also they fall into many foolish and hurtful lust. You see, people, that their life is about making another nickel. That's right. Keeping up with the Joneses. They fall into a trap, temptation, many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's right. That's utter loss. Perdition is, that's hell. He said it will drown you. They that will be rich. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves like taking a sword through with many sorrows. Oh, my brethren. You remember the story about the rich man? He had all these things. He said, I don't have anywhere to put all my goods. I'll tear down my barns and build greater barns. You remember that story? And I say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many, many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. What would we call him? What if somebody told you that? He said, okay, Brother Bastard, you know what? He said, I had to tear down my barns. I had to get another freezer. I don't have room to put all my stuff up. And we say, well, you know, you sound like a success to me. Wouldn't we? You know what God called him? Called him a fool. A fool? He called him a fool. He called him a fool. You ever been called a fool? Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then to whom shall these things be that thou hast provided? And you know what? They're going to get it. Oh yeah, when you leave here, you ain't going to take it with you. That's right. And it's going to be a big old scramble. Oh, yeah. There are going to be people maybe fighting over what you left. Oh, friends, I one time in Kentucky, and this lady up there, she said, Brother Bass, there's seven of us kids, and now there's four and three. And she said, you know why, Brother Bass, there's four and three? Because we had a big dispute over what little bit Mama and Daddy left. And she said, you know, Brother Bass, what happened to me not long ago? I went to the grocery store and saw my own fleshly sister in the grocery store. And she had groceries in her cart. Now, I don't know how many she had. She had groceries in her cart. And so she sees me, she starts crying, and she leaves her cart, and she goes on out the door. Her own sister. I'm talking about church members. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about members of the Church of Christ just like we are. If you will honestly investigate your spending habits, I believe you'll discover your final destination. Where do you turn in time of trouble? Who do we turn to? Do we really feel like we can turn to God in time of trouble? In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 16, it's such a beautiful passage here, what the writer of Hebrews says. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a beautiful thought. We boldly come to the throne of grace. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is found in Philippians 4. In verse 4 through verse 7. Philippians 4, verse 4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then he says, be careful for nothing. Or don't worry. Brethren, this is a powerful verse right here. But in everything, everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is earnest pleading. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now look what he says in verse 7. Now this is, to me, it's so powerful. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul said, I don't understand it, but I can tell you how to get it. A few, maybe a couple of years ago, Brother Sammy Dick was over in Atlanta, and we went over there to hear him one night, and he really got onto this scripture. And my wife, Sue, talked to him for quite a while after service. It was very uplifting to hear what the things Brother Sammy said about this scripture. He talked about how it had been so much help to him. Y'all know about Morlana, his wife and her illness and things like that he's gone through. But he said this scripture. And he talked to Sue about it. He talked to her more than he did me about the scripture. How important it is that we do exactly what it says. Don't worry. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Whatever it is. And then the peace of God that passes understanding shall be with you, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Who do we turn to? You say, preacher, that's who I turn to. That's right. I turn to the Lord. I turn to God. He's never failed me, and he never will. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Where will it be? Where will it be? Friends, the answer is in your hands. The answer is in my hands. Where you spend eternity. We ask you tonight, if you're not a member of the church and you want to be baptized, please come tonight to be born again. repenting of your sins, believing on Jesus Christ, confessing that sweet name by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You could be buried in baptism tonight and rise to walk in newness of life. If you are a member of the church, you want to come back, do that tonight. Perhaps you say, well, you know, I just need to think about it. Well, that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. That's what he wants you to do. Heard a little story one time, and I'm fixing to close. But it goes like this. He said all the devils had a meeting of how to get man to follow them. He says, one devil, he says, well, said, we're going to tell man there's no God. The chief devil says, well, that'll get a few, but most people's going to believe in God. And another devil said, we're going to tell man there's no heaven. Chief devil says, no, people's not going to much believe that. Another devil says that we'll tell man there's no hell. Chief devil says, no, that's not going to get many either. And another devil said, we're going to tell man there's no hurry. Tomorrow is soon enough. The chief devil says, go, and may my spirit go with you. Now you think about that. That's kind of a crude story maybe. But how many times he told me or you, there's no hurry. You've got plenty of time. But you know that story about the rich man with all those barns he had to build bigger barns? You know what God called him? He called him a fool. He said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This night. That's right. We never know. If we can assist you in either way, won't you come to the front as we stand and as we sing.